This is the MJ Morning Show Podcast. Initiate procedure. Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
The MJ Morning Show is Q105. It is 6:01. Welcome to the program, folks. And obviously, everyone's talking about the Derek Chauvin trial in the aftermath of the George Floyd death. If you missed it yesterday, guilty on all counts. You know, I'd say it's a really divisive issue, but I truly believe, and I know the conversations that I've had, is that most people agree that what the officer did was terrible, and the video kind of sealed the deal. You know, you had this long video that captured the events of that day, and every cop that I know, and I've had conversations with, I think, 8 or 9 police officer friends of mine, and it includes state, local, as well as federal, and every single one was appalled at what they saw with the officer's knee on the neck of George Floyd for that period of time. And they had never seen anything like that. And, you know, the bottom line is that was a horrific mistake. I've got a theory, and I espoused this numerous times on my afternoon show. I've tweeted it out. I have a theory on what Chauvin was doing, which I can get into later on. But, you know, certainly guilty on all counts, two murder counts. So you had a second-degree murder, the most severe. You had third-degree murder, and then you had a manslaughter charge, and the jury found Chauvin, this former Minneapolis cop, guilty on all fronts. Hold on to that thought, folks. I know, Roxanne, you've got some things to say.
Yes.
Fester, you've got some observations. I don't know about you, Froggy.
Of course. It was very relieving.
Yeah. What about you, Fester?
You know, I was around the news all day yesterday, yep. And I just felt a sense of relief in many communities. It was a tangible relief just in the atmosphere yesterday when the verdict was read.
Yeah. All right. So things relatively calm. You know, you were wondering if there was going to be protests that led to violence, riots, looting, regardless of what the verdict was. But, you know, all in all, relatively calm, which is a good thing. All right. Hold on to that thought. Busy show today. We got a lot on the table on this Wednesday. It is the MJ Morning Show, just getting rolling. This is Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
This is the MJ Morning Show. MJ and the crew here. Froggy Fester, Roxanne, me, MJ, 6:13. Couple of pieces of housekeeping as well. Roxanne, what's the status of the, what do you call those things? The shapewear? Yeah, what's the shapewear situation? And for those that are listening now that did not hear the discussion on yesterday's show, we had a little discussion because Roxanne had an item about a 9-year-old girl being asked to wear shapewear because she was in a wedding and the 9-year-old girl was a little bit on the hefty side, and her wedding dress that she was supposed to wear, a 9-year-old no less, was a little snug. And the question that had arisen, is it okay to try to get the 9-year-old to wear shapewear, slimming undergarments, in order to get her to look better and fit into this wedding dress, because the story was that the kid was a little hefty, right?
Yeah, the bride was really obnoxious about it. She's like, we don't have time to alter it, so is it bad that she's 9 years old and I want to put her in some Spanx or shapewear? And so you guys gave me this great assignment to go home and try on a dress.
Was it a girdle as well in your story? Did they want to put the kid like in a girdle and then shapewear to...
I was thinking like the Chuck Woolery girdle that he used to wear, yeah, like with the buckles.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Remember Joey B patted him on the back?
Oh,
it's a girdle.
I forgot about that. So Joey B, our former producer on the first run of the MJ Morning Show, or one of our producers, he was once, years ago, back in the 90s, he was on Love Connection with Chuck Woolery.
I remember that show.
Yeah, remember Love?
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty popular. Yeah,
we'll be back in two and two. Yeah, it's yeah, not, it's really not that obscure, Roxanne.
It was a big show.
Oh,
I think I heard of that.
I remember that. You know, yeah.
One time, MJ, I was in the audience of The Price is Right. Ever heard of that one, Rox?
I don't know. Is that a new show?
Hey, let me hear this music. Hold on a minute. You know, it's
not ringing a bell.
You know, yeah. It's not ringing a bell.
A little fuzzy.
Nice. Yeah,
it's not ringing a bell like when somebody wins a prize and the bell goes.
Not ringing a wind bell.
Yeah. Well, let me hear that music again. No, you know, never quite heard that. What? Nope. Nah.
Is that Herb Albert? No. Yes, but Chuck Woolery had a girdle. That's right.
All right, so Chuck Woolery, we're getting a little off course here, but this is still very funny. Joey B was on Love Connection, and he apparently gave Chuck Woolery a pat on the back, and he felt like all this hard...
Hardware, basically.
This hard, like, metal and...
A suit of armor.
Basically.
Chuck Woolery apparently had some kind of a constricting girdle thing that was just sucking him in so he would look thinner on TV. And Joey B said, yeah, it was like, it was all kinds of metal clips and
there was a bunch of buckles.
Buckles and everything underneath his suit.
I mean, Chuck Woolery is using girdle technology of like the 1960s.
Yeah.
Even in the 90s, he's using what he knows.
There was no Spanx back then. He would have been all up on it.
Maybe Chuck Woolery is a robot, not a real person. And those were just his metal pieces.
Maybe.
No, I think that he was just trying to squeeze into his clothing and look fitter on TV. Don't overthink it, Roxanne.
He's like, I'll be back in two and two. Oh, my God, I can breathe.
Can you imagine when the show's over?
He just bursts out of that thing.
Twang, 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 twang.
Oh, that was amazing. Ting, ting, ting,
ping, ping, ping. You know, all these springs are flying. All
the
like...
producers getting hit in the head with buckles.
Ow, my eye!
Come on,
oh,
Chuck.
My God, I just got smacked in the eye with your girdle buckle. All right, so Roxanne yesterday brought the thing about the 9-year-old at the wedding, and the bride wanted the 9-year-old to look better in the dress, and I think they wanted to put the 9-year-old in a girdle, and they wanted to like put Spanx and all kinds of shit. So the question was, is it okay for a 9-year-old to have to wear shapewear? And then didn't you bring up getting into an old dress of yours?
Yes, and so it really does make you look better because it lifts your butt, it flattens your tummy, and so it does work as far as an aesthetic appeal.
But you made a comment about an old dress of yours that didn't you try on recently and it was kind of tight? What did you say?
Yeah, I tried it on. It was a little bit, you know, didn't fit like it used to,
right,
pre-two kids. And then you put on the shapewear and va-voom, you're packed in.
So what we had decided on the air, and I asked if it was okay with you, that we do a little photographic experiment and have Roxanne try to get into the dress with no shapewear like Spanx or a Chuck Woolery girdle. And then... You put the shapewear on. We do like an A-B comparison to see if we can see any difference. So what's the status? I thought you were going to shoot the pictures, or I thought you were going to bring everything in. What's the story?
Oh, glad you asked about that. Just to illustrate how soul-crushing and exhausting it is to even think about putting on the shapewear, I didn't get around to it yesterday. My kids were driving me nuts, and I picked out the dress. I found it in my closet, and I was like, no, I just can't even slide into this. It's too exhausting.
What color is the dress?
It's like mermaidy. It's just all these, it's like turquoise and silver.
Right, I thought you were going to bring it in here because we needed to have, yeah, well, I thought that we needed to have somebody professionally shoot the pictures.
I'll do a selfie.
You were too tired to put on a dress.
I don't think a selfie is going to work because you need to have like a.
No, we need a full body.
You need a full, but you need head to toe to
have
make
my daughter
this
take a picture.
Your 3-year-old take
a
picture.
She takes good pictures.
Yeah, I'm sure she's great. No, she's fantastic.
We need Buck to take side angles.
Yeah, I think we need it to be professionally done here at the radio station.
No,
let's
bring the kids in. Let's bring the kids to take pictures.
Let's have a 3-year-old take selfies at home.
My son borrowed my phone yesterday. He took 46 pictures of his nostrils. There's lefty, there's righty. They're both clean. No bats in the cave, Hudson.
Can we try to get this up by the end of the week?
By the end of the week. That's a totally reasonable deadline.
To put on the dress, it takes 4 days.
So that means today or tomorrow, so it's up by Friday. Let's just get that started.
Ready for some morons of the news? We'll get to some early morons of the news. No shortage ever, ladies and gentlemen. Interaction with our listeners is just phenomenal. The Food Ninja just blew up. If you didn't hear about the Food Ninja deal yesterday, well, I'll kind of fill you in next in just a bit. As the response, I mean, you should have seen my MJ Morning Show email when I got home on this whole ninja commercial that I saw, and then the ensuing situation with my wife, Michelle, all on the way here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
For our early listeners that don't get a chance to hear later in the show or maybe don't listen to the podcast, again, the podcast is just a heck of a feature. I mean, every segment on the show every day is put back to back to back to back. So Coop, Super Cooper, our producer, by 11 a.m. has our podcast ready. It's on all the major platforms. A lot of people, they subscribe so they get notified when the new episode arrives. So by 11 a.m., every single segment from every day show is put back to back. No commercials and no music, so it's all of our content back to back. So if you don't get a chance to listen to the entire show, you can always catch up and hear everything we do, all compressed with our podcast. So MJMorningShow.com, it's posted there, and then all the major platforms, just do a search for MJ Morning Show and Q105. If you just do MJ Morning Show, you might get the podcast that we did for a year prior to coming back on Q105. So the Ninja deal, and I'm not a sucker for like everything that's advertised, like on TV, all the gimmicks and gadgets and everything. I'm a, Fessy, you've known me for a long time. Froggy, same with you. I'm a pretty skeptical guy. My filter, I think, is pretty harsh. I think I'm pretty critical of things. Wouldn't you agree?
Did you not own a George Foreman grill?
I did not own a George Foreman grill.
What about the Hulk Hogan hot dog cooker?
I did not own the Hulk. Was there? Get out of here. There was no Hulk Hogan hot dog.
Yeah, there was. Hulk Hogan was up to make. He was going to be George Foreman.
Yeah, I
heard he passed on it.
There was, wait a minute. Oh, whoa.
And he made a hot dog maker instead.
You know what? It's coming back to me. I think I have a recollection of the Hulk Hogan hot dog maker, but no, you're right. Wasn't Hulk Hogan first approached? Is that true? That sounds familiar.
So says Hulk Hogan, I think.
I heard the story.
Did he once tell us that story? He might have.
With a lot of brothers.
By the way, listen, George Foreman. I heard that George Foreman made a couple of $100 million on that George Foreman grill.
Good businessman. Yeah, I heard the same
Holy
thing.
Holy crap.
More from boxing.
But there was really a Hulk Hogan hot dog machine?
He made more money from that than boxing, I think.
You know that.
There was Hulk Hogan everything.
That does sound slightly familiar. Anyway.
You know what? I'm going to pass on that, bro. That's not going to work, brother. That'll never sell, brother.
I heard he missed the phone call.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene.
What about the Hulk Hogan? What about the Hulk Hogan secret bedroom camera? Did he ever? Was that ever for sale anywhere?
Brother, I don't know what you're talking about. Brother.
That patent was taken.
All right, so the Ninja. I don't typically, you know, want every gadget, and I'm kind of a skeptic when it comes to gimmicky things. But I saw the commercial for this Ninja food cooker. And it's like a pressure cooker with air dryer now. There's like a new version. It does like 9 different things. You can put a whole chicken in there and it'll crisp it. It'll make it juicy. I'm like, holy moly. I haven't been attracted to a kitchen appliance like this in a long time. I'm like, wow, this.
Okay. We got to keep those fetishes to yourself.
This looks pretty damn good. I got to have this thing. And I had the discussion with Michelle. I said, Michelle, I'm getting the food. So I rolled I called her into, because the commercial was on TV and it was on my TiVo, so on the DVR. I was able to like, boop, 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 roll it back. So I called Michelle in. I said, Michelle, I'm getting this thing. And then she's like, no, you're not.
You said, Michelle, come in here. I got to show you some food appliance porn. It's on right now. It's hot.
We talked about this on the show yesterday. The phones exploded. I couldn't believe how many people were calling in about my desire to get the Ninja cooker. Even Rachel, you know, Rachel from our, what department is she technically in?
Don't know.
Rachel's in the digital department, and she sends me an email. MJ, I heard about your food Ninja. I got one. It changed my life. I'm like, what? See?
How great are these things?
I know I'm onto something here. I want to get the Ninja. So Michelle's like, you're not getting the Ninja. Yeah, she's like worried about the counter space. We got enough stuff.
Your counters are filled with appliances.
But the text line blew up. The phone line blew up about the Ninja, and everyone's raving about it. And when I saw the commercial, I immediately went online and I was reading the reviews, and everyone's like raving about this thing. And I'm like, I gotta get this thing. I wanna air dry stuff. I wanna put my shoes in there when they get wet. I wanna do all kinds of things with it.
Do they turn crispy?
Yeah, exactly.
Just buy it. Be a man. What happened to you?
I know.
They turn delicious.
So that's the whole food Ninja thing, which I'm telling you right now, I'm getting this thing. Even if I gotta keep it like in the garage and not bring it. Even if I have to use it in the garage, I'm getting the Ninja.
How the hell is that gonna work?
If Michelle doesn't want it in the kitchen, I'll just plug it into the garage.
Just sneak it around like an actual Ninja.
I'm cooking a chicken in the garage.
And it'll have an exhaust flavor.
You're gonna go out to your car and walk in with delicious food and Michelle's not gonna know where it came from?
That's what I'm gonna do. So I'm telling you right now, I will make the revelation later on. That I'm going to buy the food Ninja thing. Ninja pressure cooker, air dryer, 9-in-1. Man, it does everything. I think it even has a pressure washer for the driveway, if I'm not mistaken.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
So Roxanne just reveals that she pulled out a juicer that she got for her wedding. This is her first marriage. She's not quite on the second marriage yet. She's just been engaged to Dig Dug for, 10 years now or whatever?
No, we're going on 6 years.
Okay, all right, sorry. Engaged for 6 years, and it's an impending second marriage. Her first marriage lasted for what, 4 years?
4 years, paper to paper.
And then you opened up a wedding gift that you hadn't used. Did you ever use this? You never used it?
No, I did use it. I did use it maybe a couple of times back in 2000.
So 21 years later, you've just opened up the juicer again?
And it worked perfectly. I wanted to do the celery juice.
Who gave you the juicer for a wedding gift?
I have to look back at my list. It's filed somewhere in that first marriage file.
Yeah. Let's give Roxanne and what was the hubby's name back then?
Paul.
Let's give Roxanne and Paul a juicer as a wedding gift. There you go. So you went to the garage. Where was this thing?
It was way, way stuffed in the back of one of my cabinets. And I'm on this celery juice thing from this doctor who's a medical.
Why the hell do you want a celery juice thing?
You've heard about this?
Yeah, says the man who's drinking soup out of a packet and eating Rice Krisps out of a box.
It's a Rice Krisps out of a packet and soup out of a box.
Yeah, right. Michelle and I are doing the Prolon fasting mimicking diet again. We started on Sunday. It ends at the end of the day tomorrow. 5 days. And I'm already down like, I don't know, 6 pounds already.
Yeah, you're going to gain it all back. Yeah, that's the point.
Last time I lost 12 pounds back in early February.
You gained it all back.
I did not gain it all back. I put like half back, you know? So
you look kind of fat, though.
What are you talking about? I'm in the best shape I've been in a long time over here. All right, so Roxanne now fired up a juicer that hasn't been taken out of the box in 21 years.
And it worked perfectly. It didn't miss a beat. No, I mean, how reliable of a product is that? It's like Omega 2000.
Did your new fiancé, Doug, and new, I mean, like in the last half decade, did he enjoy some of the celery drink as well?
He did. He didn't know where it came from. You don't need to tell him,
Buster. That's the thing.
Did you clean the device, or did it have 21-year-old dust and mud in the celery juice as well?
I cleaned it.
Let's do some early morons in the news here. Do we have any snake handlers listening to the program? If you're a snake handler, please call us immediately, 800-990-1047. I'm sure we're number one with snake handlers. I want to know if this is an acceptable snake handling technique. Guy used barbecue tongs to try to pick up a rattlesnake.
Ooh.
Out in California?
That would piss a rattlesnake off.
Oh, my God.
And now you're talking Fester's language.
A guy was bitten by a rattlesnake. He tried to pick it up with barbecue tongs. Oh, look, these metal barbecue tongs. Oh, they're about a foot long. That should be fine. That's enough distance between me and the rattlesnake. Let me pick up this rattler with some barbecue instrument tools.
That's a horrible idea.
Oh my. Well, obviously.
The barbecue tongs were covered in Sweet Baby Ray's.
God, I was at Restaurant Depot over the weekend, and I saw a 5-gallon bucket of Baby Ray's barbecue sauce.
It's the best.
Sweet Baby, is that what it is?
Sweet Baby Ray's, for all of the prepackaged barbecue sauces, I believe is the finest.
That's
of
good
them
stuff?
All. Yeah.
So I should buy a 5-gallon bucket.
You know, bathe in it?
You know those Home Depot buckets? You know those work buckets you get at Home Depot? They have one filled with Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce.
Get three of those things, you fill up a tub and do a photo shoot with Fester.
Oh my God. That's a fantasy shoot.
Anyway, out in Riverside County out in California, firefighters responded over the weekend. Incident reported, man bitten by rattlesnake. He was bitten near the thumb on his left hand while he apparently tried to pick up the snake with a pair of barbecue tongs in an effort to protect children who were in the area.
Well, that's nice.
I'm going to protect the children. I'm going to use these barbecue tongs to pick up a rattler.
There's a rattler here. Somebody grab me a spoon.
You know how barbecue tongs make that clanky little aluminum sound when you clack them together?
I love this.
He's taunting the snake.
The victim has been around snakes most of his life. So is that accepted snake handling technique to use barbecue instruments?
I'll tell you, when you're around snakes, you become a snake idiot. I remember once I saw a snake handler at the Auburndale flea market when I was like 8 years old.
There's a snake handler at the Auburn.
This is like 1983, right? My dad and I are walking around the Auburndale flea market. A guy's like, "Hey, you want to see how a rattlesnake spits his venom out?" And I'm like, "Yes." And my dad's
in
like,
"Your eyeballs."
And my dad's like, "No." And he grabs a snake by its neck and he puts something like under its fang and it shoots out.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, they take the fang and they put it on the edge of a glass or something
with a piece of cloth.
And the venom comes out.
This guy put like a pencil underneath his head. And the guy goes, "That's how it's done." He puts the pencil down and the snake just turned around and bit the guy right on the wrist.
They did bite him.
Oh my God! And my dad's like, "Son, let's just walk away. Just walk
did
away."
That guy died?
I don't know. We took off. But yeah, when you're around snakes, you become a snake jerk.
That story really took a turn.
That explains it. That's why Fester witnessed a kid get
a grown ass man.
Fester as a kid saw a grown ass man getting bitten by a rattlesnake when he was 8 years old.
I'm like 8 years old. Man, this is like the scariest and coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Because he was devenomed before that.
Hey. We'll see how a rattlesnake spits his venom out.
Oh, damn it, he bit me again.
Come here, boy. It's a rattlesnake.
Oh. My God.
Come on, Julius.
You can tell it's a rattlesnake by the rattle.
That's why we call morons in the news. All right, back in it. I still more morons. We got to get to more of the morons. Hold on, next.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
I've always been looking forward to looking for a live hand grenade at a garage sale. Anybody else? Any other takers here? Festa Froyo, Roxanne, you know, live hand grenade?
What neighborhood sale was that in? Because I want to go.
Yeah. MJ Morning Show, it's Q105. Hey, folks, Wednesday morning. Yeah, hand grenade found at a yard sale in Cape May, New Jersey over the weekend. The police, fire, bomb squad, they had to evacuate like a two-block radius. Over the weekend, Lower Township, North Cape May, New Jersey, reports of a hand grenade located at a yard sale.
Is it real or like a paperweight?
No, this was a real hand grenade.
Buy one of these. It'll be a great stocking stuffer.
I've been trying to find a grenade magnet fishing forever.
Well, you know that you can get the dummy grenades or the practice grenades, which it looks like a real hand grenade, except the bottom is hollowed out and there's no explosive charge inside to detonate. The Atlantic City Police Department's bomb squad unit removed the grenade, transported it to a safe location. The Lower Township Police Department would like to remind residents that if they discover artillery, it should not be touched or moved.
Yeah, look here. You can buy a...
Hey, thanks for the tip.
From Army Surplus World Online for $12.95, you could buy either the pineapple grenade or the baseball grenade for $12, $13. But these are deactivated.
This was apparently a live grenade. How the heck does somebody have a live grenade at their house and it ends up for sale at a garage sale? Oh, let me pull the pin, see what happens. Yeah, the local police, they responded. They determined the device was unexploded. Well, that's some fantastic police work there.
Yeah, this hasn't blown up yet.
Look, it hasn't blown up yet.
I'm pretty sure. Oh, wait, let me take a closer look.
Dust it for prints. Pull that pin. Tell me if it works.
Yeah, fun with artillery at garage sales. All right, hey, Fester.
Yes.
Fester, you've got a great item here. It's your new favorite commercial. This is on the heels of your other favorite commercial. What was your favorite new TV commercial like 2 months ago, 3 months ago?
Up until a couple of days ago, it was, whoop, there it is, guys, making ice cream sundaes. In Sonya's kitchen.
All right, so here's the audio on that.
Tasha, did you know Geico could save you hundreds on car insurance and a whole lot more? So what are you waiting for? Hip-hop group tag team to help you plan dessert?
Aw, French vanilla, rocky road, chocolate, peanut butter, cookie dough. Scoop, there it is. Scoop, there it is. Scoop, there it is. Scoop, there it is. Scoop,
yeah. Yeah, pretty funny commercial. Then at the end, the guy throws sprinkles in the air and goes... Sprinkle!
That commercial is the mint chocolate chip, my friend.
All right, so that is a Geico commercial. And then your new favorite commercial is what, Fester?
Okay, Dikembe Mutombo walking around the office and walking around supermarkets saying, no, no, no.
Dude, what?
Not in my house.
Oh, you haven't seen this one?
Yeah, not today.
Yeah.
Not in my house.
It's a good one.
Wait, my kids love that commercial, but like for years.
Yeah, well, that's the point.
What?
Fester, do you think this is a new commercial?
I've just seen it for like the first time in like the last 3 weeks.
Dude, that commercial is like, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old. I don't know why they brought it back.
No, no, no.
No, no, no. Dude, that commercial is from like 2012 or 2013.
Really? Dikembe Mutombo's dead, bro.
No, he's not.
No, he's alive. No, that was a rumor.
Don't say that.
He's not.
Oh, he's not?
No, here's the actual commercial.
No, I'm alive.
Fester rolls in this morning. Oh my God. I got to show you my new favorite commercial. So he shows it to me on YouTube. I'm like, I didn't say anything because I wanted to kind of call you out on the air here.
You're looking at me like, uh-huh.
MJ,
funny.
I have my new favorite commercial, MJ. It's this old lady. And she says, where's the beef?
Oh my God. All
right. I think it's new. I think it's new, but she screams, "Where's the beef?
Where's the beef? Where's the beef?"
So funny.
Best of this.
You're right. That's a fifth floor problem. Okay.
Listen to this.
Not in my house.
So the premise is he's blocking shots.
Not today.
Wasn't he? Is he like 7'2" or something?
Yeah, big. Yeah,
yeah. 7'2".
Jimmy, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico?
Happier than Dikembe Mutombo blocking a shot.
Yeah. So that's the commercial. Fester, that's not new. That's been on TV, I'm telling you, since like 2013. Mate, I'm guessing it's 8-9 years old.
You know what commercial I love right now?
What?
Lucky Strikes. It's so old, it's just in print. They don't even have it on commercials, but...
What are you talking about?
Roxanne's going throwback commercial, mocking me the same way Froggy tried to do the weather thing. Listen, I can't... You don't even know, MJ, how this Dikembe Mutombo commercial has changed my life. My life has changed. My parenting style has completely changed because of Dikembe Mutombo.
But you're blocking your kids?
No, I only say one of three things to them now.
Oh.
No, no, no. Not today. Hey, pick that up. Hey,
not in my house.
Don't do that. Not in my
not
house.
Not today. Not today.
My daughter left her. She left her Legos everywhere. Hadley left her Legos everywhere. And I'm like,
not
hey,
in my house.
Not in my house. No, no, no.
No, no, no.
Are you swatting things out of your kid's hand? So the premise of the commercial is Mutombo, he's like a kid gets ready to toss a cereal box into the grocery cart at the supermarket. And he comes out, he swipes the box, and the Cheerios go all over the place. And he's in an office, and someone tries to throw something into the wastebasket, smashes it out of the way.
Last night, my son asked for some ice cream, and I go, not today.
He starts
not
crying.
Not in my house.
Guys, Daddy, stop crying.
Not today. No, no, no.
Have you guys seen that new cute little commercial? It's so cute.
What is that, Froggy?
It's like this little kid, and he goes, Mikey likes it.
What the hell are you talking about?
I think it's new. It's really cute.
All right, you guys are jacked.
And then there's a really serious one.
Fester
says, oh, man, I gotta show you my new favorite commercial. Dude, it's from 2013, and for some reason, Geico, I guess they dug it out of the archives for, I would imagine, March Madness because of the basketball theme.
After 8 years of not running it, Geico?
Yes.
Have you guys seen the new one? The new Tootsie Roll spot? That many licks?
Oh, with the owl?
So new, so fresh.
Yeah.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
The MJ Morning Show is back. We've returned on Q105, 104.7 FM. In fact, got a lovely email I'd like to share here. Fester, I'll give you a chance to redeem yourself. The picture that you took outside of a T-Mobile, this was yesterday, correct?
Yeah, it was last night.
Dude, that sign scared the hell out of me.
I thought it was hysterical and scary at the same time.
That sign scared the bejesus out of me. All right, hold on. We'll get into that in just a bit. I'm going to give Fester a chance. So instead of Fester bringing us 8-year-old content, this great new TV commercial like the...
No.
The Mutombo commercial.
Not in my house.
I'm going to let you redeem yourself in the next segment. So coming up, folks, you don't want to miss the next segment here on Q105.
Yeah, and to all the people who are texting in old commercials, screw you guys, okay? I didn't know, people. I didn't know.
People are texting Roxanne over here. Yeah. Oh, by the way, when you want to call us, you use 800-990-1047. So if you ever want to add to a bit, you ever want to give us some new information, any comments, questions, if we're doing something you want to weigh in on, of course, you call the show anytime. If you've got any great content, if you've got a hot scoop, you got some good gossip we need to know about, just call us, 800-990-1047. Or, of course, you can email me, mj@mjmorningshow.com. I'm the only one that sees that. mj@mjmorningshow.com. And, of course, the phone number to call us, that's also a text line. So you can text us or call us at the 800-990-1047 number. Get an email. Listen to this thing. Love it. Got an email from Jerry, and Jerry wrote, hey, MJ, I've been listening to you guys since 1996. I've always loved you guys, and I'm glad you came back. It's a real pleasure because not only do you seem like a very humble celebrity who doesn't mind speaking to anyone, I've also listened to your kids grow. I actually wanted to name my daughter Chloe Victoria, which is Chloe's name. It's Chloe Victoria Schnitt.
And CVS?
It is.
My God, you named your daughter after a drugstore?
Well, we kind of realized that we love the name Victoria. Michelle wanted Chloe as the first name. And then, of course, Schnitt is our real last name. And it was CVS. And
we'd crazy.
We had already decided on the name. We're like, CVS. Wow. Yeah. And
Walgreens was just too wordy.
Hey,
my kid's middle name is Eckerd. Did you guys know that?
What about Rite Aid?
No. Oh, God. You guys are making jokes. I legit was almost going to name my son Dwayne Reed.
Really?
That makes sense.
Dwayne Wade sounds better, but yeah. Go three.
So this guy is great. Almost named the daughter Chloe Victoria, but my wife ended up naming her Maria Lucia.
Because, I like that.
Because of a dream that she had.
Maria Lucia.
Yeah, I still have the Crotchety Old Man CDs. Any chance of you doing new ones? Yes, there is a chance that I will do some new Crotchety Old Man calls. Maybe I should do a classic Crotchety today. Should I whip out a classic?
In honor of Maria Lucia.
Joseph. And Joseph, who wrote me the email, I think maybe we'll whip out a classic. You know what, right. Joseph? I'm going to play a classic. And no, it's seriously under consideration doing some brand new Crotchety Old Man calls. I think it's fantastic.
Maria Lucia should have her own tortilla company. Maria Lucia tortilla chips.
It's the best tortilla. The Maria Lucia tortilla.
Anyway, this is a lovely email. It's fantastic.
Maria Lucia should have a Kia dealership. Yeah. So,
we'll see you at a Maria Lucia Kia.
There you go.
You get a tortilla if you buy a Kia.
Free tortilla. There you go, Rox.
And then Joseph ends with, hey, I remember the Bin Laden skit you did.
What?
Was it where I dropped toilets off the scaffolding?
Yes. Remember, we had listeners come by with crap that they wanted to drop on Osama bin Laden's face. This was after 9/11, and we got this massive picture of Osama bin Laden's face.
It was a teacher in a high school that was trying to do a physics experiment, and they were throwing toilets on bin Laden's face, and she got into all kinds of trouble for it, and that's how we...
Is that how we did it?
Yeah.
So we got a giant image of Osama bin, like the size of a parking space. Can you imagine? Like a car park. We got a huge picture of bin Laden, and then we got like a scissor lift, right? We got
Osama bin Droppin.
It was some stupid name we came up with. And then we came up with all kinds of crap to splatter on Osama bin Laden's face. And we got a bunch of toilets and we dropped John's toilets on his face. And then did we invite listeners to come by? What do you want to drop?
Bring their stuff.
Bring all your crap, whatever you want to drop on Osama bin Laden's face. So
do we do stuff like that anymore? Big spectacles?
Hey, we will. Joseph is bringing back some good old memories here. Says, I enjoy listening to your show every morning, and if I miss anything, I always catch the podcast. God bless and keep doing your thing. Joseph, lovely email. Thank you, Joseph. He sent this to MJ@MJMorningShow.com. And folks, I'd love to hear from you. Any email you want to send, again, comments, questions, what do you think of the return of the show? Constructive criticism, likes, dislikes? Let me know. Send me an email. What do you think of the return of the MJ Morning Show? And, of course, any content that you ever have for the show, drop me an email, MJ@MJMorningShow.com. I want to address one other thing here in Joseph's email. He said, I've always loved you guys. And then he says, glad you're back. It's a real pleasure because not only do you seem like a very humble celebrity who doesn't mind speaking to anyone, I've listened to your kids grow. Festa, what about that line? Not only do you seem like a very humble celebrity.
I would never put
humble
you in the, no, I mean, I would never put you in a celebrity category.
Have I ever embraced that aura? Have I ever had that attitude?
Do you know who I am?
That's more Fester style.
Have I ever done that, or have I shied away from that? And have I chastised anyone that pulls that do you know who I am crap?
You know what? It's a blessing to be in this position, to have this job, to be able to share with the listeners every day. You know, celebrities. That's funny.
You know me for a long time. And do I play up or do I walk around thinking I'm some big wig celebrity?
No, I've never thought that about you.
You did tell me to tell everybody in this building not to look at you straight in the eyes. And the whole throw rose petals at my feet or where I go. It's a little weird.
Can you peel my grapes before you feed them to me, please?
No, Joseph, listen, I love the email. Thank you, Joseph. But, you know, as far as being a very humble celebrity, I don't think of myself that way. I'm like a guy driving a truck. I'm like a guy working in a warehouse. I just happen to talk on the radio. My tool is not a hammer. My tool is, you know, this microphone I'm pounding on. And that's the way I look at my gig. I've never classified myself as any big shot, big wig celebrity at all. So I thank you for the words, but, you know, Fester, who's known me for, what, over 20 years, you know that's not me.
You know how warehouses have that one forklift operator just won't shut up? Take that guy off the forklift and put him in a radio studio? That's my friend MJ.
All right, next. You're not going to believe what Fester took a picture of at a T-Mobile store. Oh, my God. This is scaring the crap out of me. I'm shaking in my boots over here. A sign at it. Where was this place?
It was a T-Mobile in Lutz.
All right. The T-Mobile storefront sign story. Before you walk in, there's a sign posted on the window at this T-Mobile store. All right. Hold on. You got it. We've got photographic proof as well, all coming up on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
I'm looking at the traffic cams. Holy moly, what a mess. As Pat said in traffic, got a gigantic mess. I-275, that's southbound, right?
Yeah, a southbound accident taking up 3 lanes at Howard Armenia exit. One lane's getting by, but it's messing up everything.
So if you're on 275, you're heading south, and you're all backed up, that's because looks like a pickup truck overturned near Howard and Armenia, I-275 south.
Yeah, and all the northbound people, don't be a looky-loo and stop traffic going north. Just keep going, people.
You can say that till the cows come home, but of course that doesn't change anything.
Human nature.
Rubbernecking, looky-looing, and it jacks up the traffic in the other direction, even though there's no accident there. So I sympathize with you if you're all jammed up in traffic. Just kick back and enjoy the MJ Morning Show. The Money Machine kicks up in about, 35 minutes. So at 8 o'clock this morning, we'll fire up the MJ Money Machine, your chance to win $500 cash. This is the first time today. We started at 8 a.m. every morning. We'll give you a special word. We'll give you the keyword at 8 a.m., and then you text that word to the text number we give you, and then boom, you spend 5 seconds texting a word, and you're in the running for $500. And it happens 7 times a day, 8 a.m., then 10 a.m., right after the morning show, then noon, 2, 4, 6, and 8 p.m. Money Machine is on the way here on Q105. All right, before I get to the Fester story that has literally scared the bejesus out of me, I just was checking my email. Oh, my email's loaded today. I got so much. I could do a whole show on just email content from listeners today. I also just checked my Twitter feed, and I checked my Instagram feed, and I just checked a direct message on Instagram, and a guy writes and says it's from Woodman. So I would imagine it's a guy, right? Woodman. It's not Woodwoman. It's Woodman. And he says, one of the best stories that I've heard was from your podcast when Michelle got into the fight at the ice cream store.
Oh my God.
Way too aggressive.
You ought to tell that story on the new Q105 morning show.
So this is like a year ago.
Wait, we didn't tell this on this?
No.
I don't think.
Because I haven't heard this.
Yeah. Oh, we all, you know what? Let's pencil it in for later today.
Was it 4th of July weekend?
I can't remember what it was, but Michelle.
The New Yorker came out.
Oh my God. Michelle beat the crap out of a lady in an ice cream store. My wife exploded on a woman and started ramming her head into the door frame of the ice cream store.
I'm sure.
Hold on, don't be mocking her, really. Are you being facetious and sarcastic? Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, that sounded like a really kind of thing. Hold on.
I'm not saying that Michelle can't take somebody.
No. This is a real story. Michelle got into a physical fight with another woman in an ice cream store in Brooklyn, in New York, right next to the Brooklyn Bridge. You had the Brooklyn Ice Cream Factory.
That's where it should happen.
Right at the end of Old at the end of Old Fulton, the old Brooklyn Ice Cream Factory, which I don't think is there anymore. I think they left a year or two ago. But Michelle, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let Michelle sleep a little longer.
You better, or she'll kick your ass.
I know.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, Woodman, we will tell the ice cream story for all of our Q105 listeners a little later on. So stand by. Folks, this is worth listening to. And if you absolutely can't listen to it live on the air, it'll be on the podcast, of course, podcast available by 11 a.m., the whole show, back to back. All right, Fester sends me this email last night, or a text last night. Fester texts me a picture of a sign. And then he follows up with a wider shot of the front of a T-Mobile store. Is that some kind of strip center in Lutz? Is that it?
That's exactly what it is. A strip center in Lutz.
And it's the front of a T-Mobile store.
Right. The exact location is like on Del Mabry, south of Van Dyke.
Were you going to T-Mobile to get a new cell phone since you cracked the crap out of your screen on your iPhone 6?
No.
What do you have an iPhone 6?
Yeah, iPhone 6 still has the button on it. This is working fine other than, you know, the shards of glass coming out of my screen.
Every time you scroll, you get glass in your finger.
When Fester's on the phone talking, he's got to have his wife take a pair of tweezers and take glass out of his face.
My thumb is so tender, yeah. I feel like a diabetic just injected it. Oh, God. Gust in my blood.
What?
My thumb is so sensitive, I feel like a diabetic.
It's going
to
fall off.
Because you test your blood. You have to do the little...
Oh, you prick your... So the glass shards are pricking your fingers?
Yeah, no joke. This is not a smooth screen.
Your finger's turning into like a cheese grater was run over it.
Fester goes... Why were you at T-Mobile?
I wasn't. I was at the store next to T-Mobile.
And what was the store next to it?
Tijuana Flats. It's Taco Tuesday. It's one of our family favorites.
So you go to Tijuana Flats.
Taco Tuesday.
Next to T-Mobile on Taco Tuesday yesterday. And this sign in the window of the T-Mobile catches your attention. Let me zoom in on the picture. This is posted on the window just to the left of the door handle that you have to pull to walk into the T-Mobile store.
You can't miss it.
No, you can't. The sign is a white piece of paper with huge font. And I'm going to read the sign on the... What are you laughing at?
It's pretty crazy. I mean, they went there.
Yeah, they did. On the front of the T-Mobile store in Lutz, the sign says, "Warning," in big, bold letters. So they use the bold feature on Microsoft Word.
Yeah, all caps, yeah. Warning.
And what is this, like 72-point font on Microsoft Word? It's warning, all caps, and they use the bold lettering, and then there's an underline, and it says, "Warning. By entering these premises, you are assuming inherent risks of contracting COVID-19. There will be no liability for an injury or death of an individual entering these premises. If such death or injury results from inherent risk."
Oh, God. Wow.
What lawyer does T-Mobile have that they're instructed to put this... You walk into the T-Mobile store to pick up a phone or check your bill and you could die.
Did this come from legal?
My God.
Holy crap.
I'm just here to look at the new Samsung Galaxy, for crying out loud. Oh, my God.
You do know there's an inherent risk by looking at our phones of death.
Isn't this just a little over the top?
Yeah, and it's right next to the welcome sign, and then probably like a big poster board of Dwayne Wade did some of their promotions, right? He did some of their advertising.
Like, it's right on the front glass of the door.
By entering these premises, you are assuming inherent risk of contracting COVID-19. There'll be no liability for an injury or death of an individual entering the store.
There you go.
Talk about CYA,
man.
My God. You know that, like, the T-Mobile lawyers, do we know, is that a corporate store? Is that a franchise? Do you have any idea, Fester?
I don't know. I've never walked into the store.
I'm not a T-Mobile customer.
I guess I am now. I was a Sprint customer, so now I guess I'm a T-Mobile customer.
Yeah. So if you're a Sprint, that's right. Sprint and T-Mobile merged, or T-Mobile bought Sprint, whatever the story was.
If I were prepared to incur this inherent risk of injury or death,
yeah,
I could have gone in because I'm a customer.
Tell you what, if I saw that, I'd switch to Verizon.
Really?
My God.
Wow.
Is that not insane?
But come on in. A helpful customer service representative is ready to help you.
There will be no liability for an injury or death of an individual entering these premises.
Yeah, Marty's going to hack in your face.
And I looked in the store and everybody was smiling and the employees seemed very nice. They were all wearing masks.
I would have ran away screaming.
I just want to buy a new case for my phone. Go into T-Mobile and you could die.
Jason Voorhees is your sales rep.
This cannot be
creepy
from corporate.
That is the creepiest sight I've ever seen.
That's like the, regional, or not the regional, just the manager of that store is like, I'm tired of these people coming here. I'm just going to put up my own sign. Forget it.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
This has bothered me. I think you're spot on. It's about a girlfriend that you have, and she has a new boyfriend, and there's already a little rift in the relationship. Now, has she addressed the new boyfriend yet, or she's just talking to friends like you about the situation and what should I do? Is that what's going on here?
I think she's still just talking to friends because she was married for a good amount of time before she got back into the dating world. So now she's
how long
like,
was she married?
More than 10 years.
Really?
How long was she divorced or separated from her first marriage to start dating again?
Yeah, a year
how
or
old,
so.
How old is she?
She is in her late 30s.
Late 30s, married for over 10 years. Dump the old husband. Did she dump him, or was it mutual, or he dumped her?
MJ, it's a wood chipper accident. Don't bring it up. Very sensitive.
Do you only hang out with divorce lit?
It's a Fargo situation.
Roxanne has her own little second wives club.
Yeah, I do.
All right, so she starts.
Some days you two can be engaged for 6 years.
She starts dating again. And what's the problem with the new boyfriend?
The new boyfriend only sends her text messages. He doesn't want to have phone conversations.
See, this is a problem. I've recognized this for a long time.
Yes. So she comes, and as I'm talking about this, I know she's been, was married longer than, it was more like 15 years that she was married. So she got married pre-text messaging frenzies.
Yeah, this is an issue.
She got to know her husband via phone conversations.
Yeah, and she knew she hated him and dumped him after 15 years.
I recognized this a long time ago, and a lot of our younger population, like my kids, Coop is 23, our producer, Super Cooper, who is a Generation Z at 23 years old. Coop, what percentage of your communications with people are via text versus via actual phone call talking on the phone?
Oh, like 90%.
90% texting, 10% maybe talking?
Yeah.
See, the intercommunication, the personal intercommunication skills are lacking. We're becoming like slaves to these digits versus actually talking and having conversations. And I know exactly what your friend is going through.
Right. I feel like when I fell in love with Doug, it was because...
Just saying, it's kind of gross. But go ahead.
You were saying.
It was because
what's wrong with her falling in love with Dig Doug, her perpetual fiance of 17 years?
I'm just thinking of Doug's bald head.
All right. So go on.
We fell in love on the phone, the late night conversations.
Was he in prison?
This is a call from an inmate at the Florida State Penitentiary in Stark.
This call is being monitored every 2 minutes.
The warden is listening in to this call.
Well, I text all the... Listen, don't call me. I'm not going to pick up. I'm going to hang up on you before it goes to voicemail and text you and go, my bad, I'm in a meeting. What's up?
You know what we ought to do? We ought to push this off to the next segment and grab some phone calls on this. Hey, what a shocker. You've also noticed that our text volume is increasing.
We've got a lot of text volume. Yes.
This is a real deal. People are texting instead of having human-to-human verbal conversations. Now, to me, that is communicating. Hearing somebody's voice, hearing inflection, emotion, actually interacting with something other than an electronic device.
I got to say this, too. My girlfriend is a little bit disappointed because of that 5% of the time that they have conversations, he's not as witty or snarky, or he's almost withdrawn, like you don't even know how to talk on the phone.
Tell you what, all right, let's finish this up in the next segment. I want to take phone calls, so stand by. We'll go over the little issue again. We'll grab some phone calls about, I'm telling you, it's like a texting epidemic. It's a texting pandemic is what it is, instead of people talking to one another. All right, also, Michelle's ice cream fight, that's going to be coming up. You got to hear this, folks. And the aftermath of the Derek Chauvin trial up in Minneapolis, in the killing of George Floyd. I've got a theory on why Chauvin did what he did that I haven't heard anybody else espouse. All coming up, loaded. MJ Morning Show Q105. Don't miss it. Back in a minute.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
The MJ Money Machine fires up in minutes. So, I don't know, 5-7 minutes away. We'll give you the word. We'll give you the text line. You could win $500 in minutes here on Q105. This, I feel, is so important. We've dragged it from the last segment. We started talking about this in the last segment, and I didn't have time to take phone calls, so I wanted to grab some calls here. This is something, and Roxanne raised this issue, but this is something, you've really hit a nerve here, Roxanne. This is something that's like near and dear to my heart, and something that I've discussed, something that's bothered me. This has come up on my radio shows in the past, that people are turning into textaholics. And I'm going to call it a textdemic, like a epidemic of texting instead of talking. And if you're just tuning in, just a little recap, and I want to grab calls on this. If you heard the last segment, please call us, 800-990-1047, 800-990-1047. Are you in a situation where you agree with me or disagree with me that people are texting so much that they're losing the art of conversation? We're not talking to people as much. We're not having conversations, hearing people's voices, hearing inflections, emotions, that we're just using these digits over a cell phone to text people. And to me, that's bothersome. And what just came up in the last segment was that Roxanne's got a girlfriend who was married for years. She's newly single. She's now dating. After like, how many years?
15.
Oh, 15 years.
And closer to 15, right. Yeah, when I
so
did the math.
After 15 years of marriage, she's now dating a new guy, new boyfriend, and all he wants to do is text. So all their communication is done over text, and she prefers to speak and talk and have a communication. Now, folks, I'd love to hear from listeners right now. Is this an issue with your loved one, maybe your kids? Do you have to deal with somebody with work and it's all texting and you want to actually talk to people? You want to hear a voice? You don't want to have to just rely on your thumbs going on your cell phone?
I like to explore all these relationship dynamics, but as it pertains to dating, I wonder about the whys. Why does this happen? I think guys like to control the situation and they can do so via text easier. And I also think when you're dating, you get that dopamine rush of, oh, I got a text message. Who's it from? It's kind of exciting.
Listen, there are times when texting is efficient and it's good. Hey, be right there. Be there in a second. Running 5 minutes late. Whatever. But there are times where people are texting and they're completely eliminating the art of talking and having a conversation. Being human.
So what?
All right, Frog, I'm going to come over there and I'm going to be...
I mean, yes. Seriously, some people are annoying to talk to.
We're talking to you right now about this.
I'd rather y'all text me about it.
Yeah, well, Frank, why don't you text me? I'm going to shut your mic off and you just text me for the rest of the show.
That's a good idea.
And you know what? And if it's good enough, I'll read your text on the air.
I just got a text in from Froggy.
He says, cool.
I just turned his mic off. I just turned his mic
text
off.
Text
me your response. All right, let's go to phones on this. Folks, do you agree with me or disagree with me? 800-990-1047. Good point you brought up, Roxanne, because this is near and dear. I'm telling you, this has always bothered me. 800-990-1047. You agree or disagree? Am I right or wrong? Let's go with Jerry in Tampa. Jerry, first up on this on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
Jerry, your thoughts, please.
Yes, I'd rather talk instead of text because I want to know that I'm talking to a real person, because when you text somebody, how do you know if they're actually real or not?
All right. Can you give me an example of maybe a text conversation? I'm talking about people you know and relatives.
Well, my daughter, she'd rather text me instead of talking to me.
Well, so you don't know if your daughter's real?
Well, I know she is real, but some people that you actually end up texting to, how do you know if they're actually real?
Oh, okay. So you're talking about people that you might not know.
That you're meeting or you're dating or you're trying to meet online. You know, a lot of these things happen on Tinder.
Was it a bot is texting you or something? Or I don't know.
Could be some guy.
Yeah, because there's a lot of them out there now.
Jerry, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. Let me grab Maury in Tampa. Maury, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing fine. Go ahead.
I absolutely hate texting. First of all, it's just getting sometimes misunderstood when you're trying to communicate things on text. And my kids know that I would never respond to text, so they usually call me.
That is strong. Mari, you're telling me that you hate texting so much when you're... How old are your kids?
My son is 22. My daughter is 19.
So 19 to 22. So
no, 20. I'm sorry. My daughter is 20. My son is 22.
That's all right. So when they text you, you don't respond. So you force them to have to call you to talk.
Absolutely.
What if they text you, Mom, I've been in an accident?
Froggy, text me. Don't talk. I just shut Froggy's mic on. Don't turn your mic back on. Text me.
Hate this.
Maury, thanks for the call. Good call. Good point. Krista's in Land O'Lakes. Krista, you're on the MJ Morning Show, Q105. Hi, Krista.
Hi, good morning. I do not like texting because you cannot tell the tone of the conversation through a text.
100% right. That's one of the things that I said is you can't tell inflection. You can't tell emotion. And sometimes when somebody delivers a text, it's interpreted the wrong way because you don't know tone and inflection. Krista, you're 100% right. Times to text, and there are times not to text.
Correct.
Krista, thanks for the call. That's an excellent point.
People always tell me I'm good at letting them know I'm ready to get off the phone. But now I feel like people don't recognize that as much when you're like, okay, well, I got it, because they don't recognize tone of voice.
Gail in Clearwater. Gail, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hold on a sec. Froggy just texted me.
Texted you, yeah.
Yeah. Kiss my... I can't let you read this, Froggy.
Well, you want me to text you?
Kiss my...
I mean, you could have just said it on the radio.
Hang on a minute. All right. Gail, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi, Gail.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine.
I am a caller. I have a 17-year-old daughter and a 21-year-old son.
Yep.
And they will actually text each other and myself while we're in the same home. I don't answer them.
Oh, my God. They're texting you while you're in the same house. They won't come talk to you? That's a whole different issue. That's even beyond not calling somebody on the phone. Texting in the house instead of going to the next room to have a face-to-face conversation. That's like a whole new level.
Oh, it's terrible. And they know I will not answer them.
My God. Gail, thanks. That's terrible. Thank you. Tracy is next on the MJ Morning Show. Hi, Tracy. Welcome.
Hi.
You got a problem, Tracy? What's the issue?
I've got some adult children that text nonstop. They've definitely lost the appreciation of communication via a phone call.
I'm telling you, big problem. Thanks, Tracy. How about Mary Catherine? Is it Mary Catherine Gallagher by any chance? Are you going to flop down on a card table? Are you going to smell your fingers? Mary Catherine.
Superstar.
She's never heard that.
Mary Catherine, give me a superstar real quick.
Superstar. I was looking for Halloween one year.
That's fantastic. All right, Mary Catherine, MJ Morning Show, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm 38, my husband's 33, and we're both millennials, but I'm on the cusp of the Zennial Gen X, and with him it's totally different. It's like he doesn't even know how to form words when we're face-to-face talking, but text, it's like a bucket of information.
That's interesting.
Yeah, look at that. All right.
You married a real dope man. Seriously.
So, I mean, is this doomed or is this going to last? What do you think? Can you get through this?
I mean, I'm very hopeful that it's not doomed, but it's hard. It's very difficult, man. And I feel bad. I think it's just a generational thing.
Yeah, we've totally hit on something here. I mean, look at the phones. The phones have blown up on this.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
Roxanne said it was among the most texting we've ever received on a topic.
To add to the irony, 50% of these hundreds of texts are like, I love talking on the phone.
Hey, on a much more serious note, and of course, this is the talk of the country all over the place. The verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial, the former Minneapolis police officer who yesterday was found guilty on all three counts.
We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count one, unintentional second degree murder while committing a felony, find the defendant guilty. We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count two, third degree murder perpetrating an eminently dangerous act, find the defendant guilty. We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count three, second-degree manslaughter, culpable negligence, creating an unreasonable risk, find the defendant guilty.
He faces a lot of jail time. So for the top charge of second-degree murder, that is a maximum sentence of 40 years in prison. The second count of third-degree murder carries a penalty up to 25 years in prison. And then the final charge of second-degree manslaughter carries a 10-year maximum. Now, according to state law, he will probably only be sentenced to the top count, which is a maximum of 40. But the belief is sentencing is going to be in about 8 weeks, so about 2 months away. So that'll put us, in June.
Yeah, mid-June.
Yeah, so June we'll know how much time Derek Chauvin is going to get for the killing of George Floyd. But it's believed that the statutory maximum is 40 years in state prison. He's probably going to face a lot less time. The guidelines actually call for maybe 12 and a half years in prison. So, you know, will there be a reaction if he doesn't get what people think is deserved? I had a couple of things here, and I have a theory on what happened. I haven't heard anyone espouse this particular theory on why this stupid, stupid police officer did what he did. I mean, really, it's an awful situation. Every cop that I know, and I've done dozens and dozens of ride-alongs with the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. I've been an honorary deputy with HCSO now since 1997 through three different sheriffs, and every cop I know, whether it's local, whether it's a state cop, whether I know federal cops, everyone, they commented on this George Floyd incident that happened. It's almost a year ago. It happened on Memorial Day last year. Every cop I know is like, what the hell was this guy thinking? Every cop I know said this was unbelievably vicious, that this was uncalled for, that this guy ought to be arrested, fired immediately. You know, I saw that Grady Judd said as much. Grady Judd said if this happened in Polk County, that officer would have been fired and arrested the same day.
Yeah.
Some of the police officers I spoke with said they were shocked, too, that the other officers didn't intervene and say, stop it, get off him.
And, Mal, I've got a theory here. You know the crowd that was gathering on the sidewalk? My theory is that Derek Chauvin, this stupid former Minneapolis cop who leaned on Floyd's neck for over 9 minutes, you know, causing asphyxiation, you know, hypoxia, cutting off his oxygen supply. In a weird sense, I think that the crowd yelling at him, rightfully so, to get off, and even the off-duty firefighter EMS, that young woman, saying, what are you doing? Check his pulse. I think that the officer was in a macho mode, and he didn't want to appear weak to those on the sidewalk and almost like give in to their demands to get off of Floyd's neck. So I think that was at play, where he didn't want to cave in or look weak before the people that were yelling at him, and they were right. They should have been yelling at him.
He looked plenty weak yesterday walking out of that courtroom in handcuffs.
Did you see that he had stuff scribbled on his hand?
I saw what it was.
Yeah. He had writing, and people weren't, what does he have scribbled? As they were cuffing him and he was walking away, he had stuff scribbled on his hand. It turns out it's his lawyer's phone number. That if he had it on a piece of paper as he was remanded into custody immediately, that they would have taken everything away and he wouldn't have his lawyer's number. So he wrote his lawyer's phone number on his hand.
All right. It'd be funny if somebody spit on their hand and wiped it off before they took it away. Sorry.
You're Derek Chauvin.
Yeah.
If there's one phone number you're going to memorize.
Yeah, probably your lawyer.
Yeah, you don't need to write that down on your hand, Derek.
Why, so he could yell at him? Is that what he wants it for?
I read that his defense is like over $1 million, and the police union is paying for his... Because I guess he paid his dues, and you get the criminal defense if something like this happens.
Wow.
But that should have never happened.
Does this go to appeal?
Absolutely, yeah. Because, you know, you got the Maxine Waters comment, and, you know, that's going to be... It's going to go to appeal. I don't know if it's going to be successful on appeal, if anything's going to be overturned, but absolutely the case is going to be appealed. What happens? But listen, justice was served. What that cop did to George Floyd, he had drugs in his... doesn't matter. The fact that he was trying to pass a phony $20 bill doesn't matter. The store shouldn't even call the cops on that. The cops should not have even been called. The store should have said, get out of here. We're not taking your fake 20. Beat it. Scram. And that should have been the end of it. But what the cop did once, even though he was resisting arrest initially, there was no excuse for the knee on the neck for that period of time. Absolutely no excuse whatsoever. At 8:15, it's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. I got to get Michelle on the phone. The people want to hear the ice cream story. The time where Michelle beat the crap out of a woman in an ice cream store. This is a crazy story. If you haven't heard it, I'll try to get Michelle on in just a matter of minutes here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Man, this story kicks butt. I mean, literally kicks butt. All right, 8:25, and Michelle is joining us. Good morning, my lovely bride of nearly 27 years, Michelle.
I don't love to tell this story.
You love to. Come on.
No.
You love this. Yes, you do.
Hey, Michelle, there's a small amount of pride, maybe a little bit more than a small amount of pride in telling this story.
That you only share with a small circle of friends.
Well, that's all you're doing right now, except everybody's right. Listening on the radio.
Now, here's the deal. We told the story on the MJ Morning Show podcast like a year ago. And we had a listener that now is listening to us every morning on Q105. And they made the request, hey, MJ, any chance you can get Michelle to tell the ice cream attack story again? I heard it on the podcast thought it was the greatest thing ever. I think your Q105 audience would love to hear the story. I agree. I totally agree.
Someone who's heard it hit me up and said, Michelle will be your spirit animal after you hear this story.
Oh, what? Michelle will be your spirit animal?
Yeah.
Somebody texted you that knows the story?
Yes.
Oh, so someone else that listened to the old MJ Morning Show podcast heard it. All right, Michelle, go ahead. You tell the story fantastically. So go ahead. The ice cream attack story where Michelle beat the crap out of another woman.
Oh, my God. I did not.
Yes, you did. You were ramming your head into the doorframe like it was a WWE match, like you were ramming the head into the turnbuckle. All right. Two guys had to pry you off of her.
Well, don't mess with my kids.
All right. Here's the story. This is a couple of years back. We're in Brooklyn, New York. We had just had dinner at Giuliana's Pizza, coal-fired. It's Patsy Grimaldi's new place called Giuliana's. One of the best pizzas on the planet. It's fantastic. And at the end of the street, there used to be the Brooklyn Ice Cream Company. And it was out, I mean, literally on that little, sort of like a little, not a jetty, but it was like sort of into the East River, right next to the Brooklyn Bridge. You look right across to Manhattan, and we go in to get some ice cream after the pizza. Michelle, take it from there.
Well, there's limited seating in this location. There's only like three tables with about four chairs around each table. And so it's a little breezy outside. And we're eyeing the seating because the kids are like wanting to sit down. They're a little younger at this stage. And so as we're standing in line, I'm saying to the kids, like, okay, so it looks like that family there is about to get up. You need to go think about, you know, grabbing that seat. Let us know what you want.
I think there were like four or five little tables. You know what ice cream shops, they have the little round table and those metal chairs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can picture that.
All right, go ahead.
And so this group in front of us, kind of weird, the girl turns to me and says, well, we're ahead of you, so we're going to get the table first. And I was like, well, thank you, God, if I'm, you know, sending my kids to save the table, but whatever. So then we proceed through the line. We all order our stuff. The kids do go and, you know, snag the table, like I said.
There's nothing wrong with this. Hey, kids, keep your eyes out for a table that's going to open up. Grab it. Yeah. Sit down. We'll order your ice cream. Bring it over. We'll sit down, have a nice, relaxing family chat. We'll enjoy our ice cream. Just a wonderful family outing.
So myself and Chloe and Julian are sitting there. We're waiting for you, and you're paying for the ice cream.
I'm in line. I'm at the front of the line, and I still... Did you take some of the ice cream already? And I know I had to bring... Was I bringing all the ice cream over as well?
Right. Well, you were paying for the ice cream, and then Julian had gotten up and gotten, like, to help you.
Right.
He was going over to help you.
Right.
And just as he got up, this group that was in front of us...
And let's describe the group. The girl had, like, multicolored hair. It was probably a...
weird piercing.
Yeah, it was, like, two guys, and they were, like, the hipster type, and piercings and tats and... So it was the girl.
Just kind of obnoxious.
How old? The girl was probably what, 24?
Maybe 24. Maybe a little older. Maybe 26. You know, I mean, she had some maturity to her because she had a mouth.
All right. So Julian gets out of his seat to go help me to carry the ice cream over, and I'm in the process of paying. And then what happened, Michelle?
Well, they were standing at the table next to us, and they. She was, like, kind of waiting for a seat, too. And she went to snatch the chair out of, like, just as Julian's little bottom left the seat. And I
as Julian gets up, the lady grabs Julian's chair and goes to take it.
Yeah. And so I grabbed it with my hand. And she was, like, you know, pulling it to her. And I was like, I don't think so. So then...
Yeah, you were like Matumbo.
Yeah.
You were like...
No, no, no. Not today.
Not today.
No. So she let go, and then Julian came back to the table, and then they hadn't gotten all of their ice creams yet either because, you know, they're like multiple servers back there.
And I'm still at the register. I'm still paying. My credit card is out, and?
Right. So then Julian comes back. He brings the other ice creams over. You're still paying. She then turns around with her friends. They're getting their ice cream. They're standing there for a few minutes, whatever. You're still paying and, like, oblivious to the situation. And then the next thing I know, I just see her, and she turns and looks at me, and I'm like, oh, man.
She's coming at Michelle. She has her ice cream. Was it a cone or a cup?
It was a cone.
It was a cone. And what did she do to you, Michelle?
She ran at me like it was a javelin and smashed the ice cream in my chest.
Smashes her ice cream cone in Michelle's chest.
All right, what flavor was it, Michelle?
She said, go back to Texas.
She yells at Michelle, go back to Texas, bitch. That's what she yells at Michelle. And I'm still at the register.
Oblivion.
I'm like, what just happened? So, Michelle, what happened after she jams the ice cream in your chest like a javelin?
I jumped up and grabbed her by the hair and started punching her and threw her face into the wood frame of the door.
I love Michelle.
That's great.
Michelle's got her by the hair and is smashing her face into the door frame of the ice cream shop.
The unfortunate thing is that you didn't even know it was me because you're just like oblivious.
I'm still at the register, you know, 20 feet away. Meanwhile, there's a line out the door. Two guys waiting in line had a grabbed the two apart, had to grab Michelle because Michelle was ramming this woman's, and then she ran. Her and her friends ran almost like they had warrants out for their arrest and they were afraid of the cops coming.
No, they were afraid of getting their ass kicked more, MJ. They didn't have warrants out.
Is that not a great story?
I have goosebumps. That's such a good story. Oh my gosh.
The kids, you should have seen Chloe and Julian's faces. Their faces were like, they still talk about it to this day.
They went to school that week and told their friends.
They told their teachers.
Mom
beat up a lady at the ice cream shop in Brooklyn.
My mom will beat up your mom.
Michelle, tell us again how much you don't like telling this story.
I really don't like telling this story because it really is embarrassing, right?
Oh, it's a great story. This story's fantastic.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
We don't do many musical tributes here, but when I heard about this guy passing away, and then immediately knowing who he was and then understanding and realizing his contribution to music. Folks, I love music. I can't tell you how many of these songs I have on my iPod. Froggy, do you know who we're talking about?
I do not, but I love music as well.
All right. Do you know who Jim Steinman was?
Oh, the Steinman Brothers, of course.
No, he was a lawyer of Steinman and Steinman.
Car accident, call Steinman and Steinman. No, not. Probably you have no idea. Jim, Fessy, you know, right?
No, but I was upset when Jerry Casale from Devo died.
Hold on, I did not know who he was until I clicked the story and saw who he was, and I was like, oh.
So you didn't recognize the name.
Before yesterday, right. I had no idea who he was.
All right, Roxanne, when you saw the name that Jim Steinman died at the age of 73, did you have any idea who he was?
No clue, but then, of course, once I looked at his bio, I was like, oh, yeah, he's affected my life.
Wow. I'm going to give you a little musical hint here, folks. One of the songs that he wrote for Meatloaf.
And I would do anything for love. I'd run.
Yeah, this guy.
This guy.
What?
Oh, it's the worst.
Whoa, Foley, what are you? That is a fantastic song. Froggy?
Over dramatic fat rock opera? God, I hate it. I hate rock opera.
Oh, this is fantastic.
It's powerful.
You know what the crazy thing is?
What?
The thing that Meatloaf wouldn't do is open mouth kiss.
I won't do that.
So, Jim Steinman wrote like every song on the Meatloaf record on Bat Out of Hell.
Bat Out of Hell is one of my favorite. Paradise by Dashboard Lights is one of my favorite songs ever.
Absolutely. No, that's it. It ends. Oh, yeah.
I'd rather literally get a piece of Meatloaf and shove it in my CD player and listen to that than listen to Meatloaf music.
Meatloaf is awesome.
I love Meatloaf.
Yeah, with mashed potatoes. Not the big fat rock opera guy.
Right, so, Jim Steinman, he's the dude that wrote every Meatloaf song on Bat Out of Hell, which has sold like over 10 million. Do you know that no record company wanted to release the album? And the thing has sold over 10 million copies now. What about this? He also wrote this.
Now don't be sad. Don't be sad. Cause two out of three.
Wrote that as well. Now, you ready for the diversity?
Okay.
He also wrote this.
If you want me like this, and if you need me like that, it was that long ago, but it's all coming back to me.
Oh my God.
It's so hard to
He wrote the Celine Dion song, All Coming Back to Me. Wait a minute.
I could totally picture Meatloaf singing that song.
Exactly. And it was originally, I think, written for Meatloaf, but they decided not to do it. He also wrote this.
But I don't know how to leave you, and I'll never let you fall. And I don't know how you do it, making love out of nothing at all.
Air Supply song, he wrote that. Wait a minute, it gets better. He wrote this.
I'm a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night.
Bonnie Tyler, Footloose soundtrack, holding out for a hero. Speaking of Bonnie Tyler, what else do you think he wrote?
Now I'm only falling apart. There's nothing I can do. A total eclipse of the heart.
Anyway, he died in Danbury, Connecticut on the 19th at the age of 73. Had kidney failure. Jim Steinman.
What can't this guy write?
The contributions to music that
a
he made.
Song?
Just brilliant. Now, Froggy, go to a buffet and get some meatloaf, okay?
His meatloaf stuff is his worst stuff.
No, it was not. His meatloaf stuff is fantastic stuff, Frog. What's the matter with you? You know, you amaze me every day with how shallow you are.
You know, shallow? Because I think meatloaf stinks on ice.
He doesn't stink.
He does not. I love meatloaf.
I mean, he's a big, fat, sweaty mess, but he doesn't stink.
Oh, boy. All right. We got a lot coming up on the MJ Morning Show. Don't move. We got late morons in the news coming up. I've got some listeners. Email we got to get to here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
If you've got a hot tip, if you know something that we need to know, call us. 800-990-1047. Whenever we're on, just call us. 800-990-1047 or email me. Email my personal MJ email anytime. MJ@MJMorningShow.com. That's MJ@MJMorningShow.com. So I get a lot of email these days. I'm also getting a ton of messages because people can send me. I don't block my direct messages on Instagram. So on Instagram, give me a follow. I'm at Todd Schnitt on I'm sorry. On Instagram, I'm certified Todd Schnitt. So Twitter, I'm just Todd Schnitt. On Instagram, I'm at certified Todd Schnitt. And you never know what I'm going to post, what videos I'm going to shoot live on Instagram. Give me a follow. So I'm checking my direct messages, and I get a message from a listener. And hold on a minute. I want to dig up her name here.
All right.
I printed it out, but it didn't put her name at the top of the message. So I get this message, and it is from Trudy. Trudy Malinowski. Trudy, thank you so much. Trudy Malinowski on Instagram sends me this message. My pest control guy came into our house to spray. This was sent yesterday at 9:54 a.m. So last hour of the show yesterday, 9:54 a.m., Trudy writes, my pest control guy came in the house to spray. I have your show on. He asked, is that MJ? What station is that? Then he goes on to tell her, I have all of his crotchety old man CDs. He was thrilled we're back. The point is, this guy had the pest control guy who's in his truck all morning long going from house to house. He didn't know the MJ Morning Show was back until he went to Trudy's house and Trudy had us playing on a radio inside her house.
That's awesome.
Did I tell you about my friend who does Twitch TV? He came into town from St. Louis, and I was like, I want you to meet MJ and Froggy and Fester. And he's like, what? I grew up on them.
Oh, he's from St. Louis.
Yeah, he's from St. Louis. Yeah. Yeah.
Our show ran in St. Louis for 14 years. We were top of the ratings in St. Louis for a long time as well, right out of Tampa Bay here. So, again, the point is the number of people that just don't know we're back. The ratings growth upside of this show, once the word finally gets out that the MJ Morning Show back, it's ginormous. So Trudy, thank you for sending me the message. I appreciate it. The point is, folks, please help spread the word. Until my $1 million advertising campaign starts with billboards and TV to let the masses know that the MJ Morning Show's back here on Q105. Word of mouth, please. That's also a great way to spread the word. Let everyone you know that the MJ Morning Show is back daily here on Q105. So hopefully the bug dude is listening. Hey, Mr. Pest Control Man, I'm glad that you've been reunited.
Ooh, no.
Don't go there.
Nice thought, but yeah, just don't do that.
Kind of thing. Oh, I got to get to my daily reflection. seriously, I've got a new thing. I read something. I've got some research, and well, I need to like set the right tone and the right pace, and you know, the daily reflection.
So, you need some kind of music, like some mesm.
Well, hang on, folks. I'm going to get into the daily reflection here in a matter of moments, but first a follow-up on the crazy lady that bit and scratched and took a chunk out of the neck of the Uber driver in Pinellas County.
Unbelievable. This lady was out of her mind for at least a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
I think I know what's going to come out about this lady, because they did say alcohol was involved.
Yeah, she was apparently drunk off her butt.
But I think she's going to do a defense of like, oh, I have some sort of narcolepsy or sleeping disorder, and I woke up disoriented and boom.
Yeah, maybe, because she needs a criminal defense attorney, clearly. If you missed the story, we had it yesterday. A 22-year-old Uber driver was driving this 55-year-old woman by the name of Michelle Stillwell. It turns out that apparently her daughter puts her in the car. The mother is drunk, and the daughter hailed the Uber, puts mom drunk into the back of the Uber for the Uber to take her home.
That sounds like the responsible thing to do so far.
Until mom wakes up and starts choking the Uber driver while he's driving the car. Did you see the video? Her hands are around the Uber driver's neck.
It looks fake. It just looks crazy. And this is the middle of the day that she's drunk, right?
Froggy has a dramatic reenactment of what the driver was saying at the time of the video.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for Froggy, Uber driver getting strangled, reenactment theater.
What are you doing? I'm kidding.
Yeah, the Uber driver.
I'm just an Uber driver.
This has been MJ Morning Show Masterpiece Theater.
As seen.
Hope you've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yeah, here's some audio. Channel 8 did an interview with this guy. Listen.
Screaming some curse words at me, slaps me in my face.
Screaming my daughter while scratching, strangling, and biting him. Deputies believe Stillwell was intoxicated.
Oh. It's like reliving a horror movie.
He wants to know why. We went to Stillwell's home for answers.
Listen.
The big question, why the attack happened on Saturday? No answer.
Uber, it is who I was driving for at the time, has not done a single thing.
Hasse Jr. says he's called Uber and is disappointed.
The driver's claimed that Uber, I don't know what Uber, do you want them to come put some Neosporin on the trunk, take it out of your neck? I mean, obviously you ban the lady, you make sure she doesn't ride in an Uber again. But did you see the chunk taken? It looks like an animal bit a chunk. The lady bit a, what do you, like a quarter-sized chunk out of his neck.
Does anyone notice the uncanny resemblance to Jack Dorsey? The victim looks just like Jack Dorsey from Twitter.
Jack from Twitter. He's
driving Uber on the side.
He's driving Uber in Pinellas County. You want to get a hold of him? Just at Jack. That's how you get a hold of him.
I can't believe Bath Sauce wasn't involved with all the biting.
Now, apparently she was drunk. She woke up.
Who bites when they drink?
But Roxanne is right. I think that could be the defense, is that she woke up. She didn't know where she was. She thought she was being kidnapped. She's in a strange guy's car. That is going to be her defense. Roxanne, you are correct.
Should have been a lawyer.
You should have, exactly.
Maybe she was like in one of those states like Joey used to get into when he was on Ambien and would put like mustard on his wiener for some reason and be like, what the hell, and wake up.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
All right, it's the MJ Morning Show. It's rolling up on 9:10 here on a Wednesday. Oh, we got to get to the Pat Sajak audio. Hey, Coop, I meant to send it to you last night. I just emailed it to you. Did you see where Pat Sajak accidentally gave out the answer to the puzzle? What do they call? I'm not a Wheel of Fortune huge super fan. What do they call it when the person?
Letters.
What is it?
Letters. They give out the letters.
There are. Yes, Roxanne, there are letters.
You said you're not.
No. What is the at the end of the game when the person wins? You know, they have three contestants. Someone wins and they get
solve
to play
the puzzle.
Yeah, they get the final round. What do they call that? Where they get the RSTLNE and then you.
I think it's the letters.
Is that what?
I think it's called letters.
So you got to hear this. Pat Sajak accidentally gave away the answer, but the person didn't even realize it. This is crazy. See if you can see what Pat Sajak did. We'll get into that coming up in just a bit, but first.
I think this is called the final round, by the way.
It's the final round?
Yeah, with letters. So Roxanne was
hey,
right.
Hey, Coop, can you dig up some Daily Reflection music?
Like Stuart Smalley from Saturday Night Live.
See if you can find some music that would.
There's some meditation music, too.
Yes, find some meditation music online and just start, when you have it, just start playing it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is the launch. This is the debut of the MJ Morning Reflection. And I think this is going to be a daily feature here on the show.
Are you good enough? Smart enough?
Well, the reason why I'm talking about the MJ Daily Reflection, and folks, you might want to emulate this. You might want to take a cue and pick up on this. And I think this is going to improve me as a person, as a broadcaster, as a communicator, as a husband, as a father.
Let's hope.
As a friend? As an auto mechanic?
Yeah, your auto mechanic skills are kind of bunk.
I saw this new study, and it happens to be right out of here in Florida.
It's nice.
And now it's time for MJ's Daily Reflection.
I'm so relaxed.
I'm waiting for Fester to massage me.
Don't do that.
You're going to be waiting a while.
All right, here it is. A new University of Florida. I'm not going to talk like this, but a new University of Florida study says that if you take some time and have a moment of reflection every morning, it can make you a better person, a better leader. And what am I here on the MJ Morning Show?
A better person?
No, what do I do? What's my role? What's my title?
You're humble. Oh, your title.
Yes.
The king annoyer?
Yeah, the guy that talks the most?
I'm the host. I'm the lead guy on the MJ Morning Show.
I think Fester is, but okay.
No, I'm the funniest
guy. Listen to this. New study finds that the only person you really need to have a conversation with is yourself. Researchers from the University of Florida say a quick morning reflection can boost performance at work. And I'm always looking to boost performance here at work. Because frankly, some days I just suck bad. It's as simple as taking a few moments in the morning while you're drinking your coffee to reflect on who you want to be as a leader. Yeah, this is from doctoral student Remy Jennings.
Oh, Remy.
We all do this.
And UF management professor Claudiana Lenage. They studied participants and they learned how this step of having this reflection, it affected workplace performance. Results show employees taking time for morning reflection were more likely to help coworkers and provide strategic vision. Therefore, it's the MJ Morning Reflection. So I can be a better leader of the MJ Morning Show. Because I want to make an impact. You know, some of the questions.
I can stop this music I want to punch myself.
Please, keep it going then.
Some of the University of Florida research team, some of the questions that they recommend.
He's literally hitting himself. All right, take it off. He's going to hurt himself.
Coop, stop the music.
All right.
We don't have to do that, right? Just you.
It's over. It's
fine. Make the music stop. Thank you, Frog.
The University of Florida research team, they recommend asking yourself a few helpful questions. Like, what are your proudest moments in leadership? I would have to say, ultimately, being the overseer and being responsible for the Fester turkey fryer fire.
That's your proudest moment?
That's a big deal.
Man, the time we skirted felony arson charges was my proudest moment.
It didn't come close to that. It wasn't. All right. Amazon. I got to move on to Amazon here in a moment. I got an Amazon story. You're not going to believe what Amazon's getting into now. My God. And I've got an Amazon confession to make, all coming up on the MJ Morning Show.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It's the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. I have an Amazon confession to make, prompted by something I saw last night. And it's like, oh my God, Amazon is now getting into this business? Holy schnit. At first, though, Coop just reminded me, we have the Adventure Island tickets to give away. If you want a pair of Adventure Island tickets right now, plus complimentary parking, just be caller number 20. 800-990-1047. That's 800-990-1047. Good luck. 800-990-1047. Caller 20. You got Adventure Island tickets right now from the MJ Morning Show here on Q105. Did any of you guys see this? Did anyone else see the story? Am I the only one that has this?
What business is Amazon getting into?
Well, you obviously didn't see the story. Roxanne, did you see the story?
I did. Now that you say that, I did see the story. I saw it a couple days ago. Yeah.
Oh. All right. I wonder if it's the... What? Okay, Roxanne.
Saw it before. I saw it 17 days ago before all of you saw it.
Bezos called Froggy himself. Yeah.
It's not Bezos. Jeff Bezos.
No, it really is Bezos. If only Froggy knows that because they're BFFs.
Jeff Bozos. All right. So, Froggy... Tell me what the story is if you saw it 17 days ago. What is Amazon getting into now?
Oh, Amazon is simply getting into the delivery business, and it's a big deal.
You are late to the party.
Yeah. All right, Roxanne, what's the story? What do you think it is?
I believe it is they're getting into the haircutting business, the barber business.
You're right.
Porn?
No. What?
I'm just still guessing.
She just said what it is.
Man, you always guess right. Not fair.
Roxanne is correct. Amazon... apparently has opened up their first hair salon. What?
It's just greedy is what it is.
Is it? I mean, it's
what are they going to do? What are they going to disrupt the hair salon business now? You know, Amazon is known as probably the greatest disruptor of all, probably the greatest of all time. And I do have an Amazon confession to make, and I'll get to that in a second. That's the culmination of the prompting of this.
Genghis Khan was the greatest of all time. He really interrupted some business back in Mongolia in the day. I'm just saying, Mongolia's never been the same. So it was Genghis Khan, then Jeff Bezos.
Fester, can you shut up, please?
It's the truth. All right,
so...
Julius Caesar did a hell of a job disrupting business in the Roman Empire. Yeah.
Are you on your microphone? It sounds like you're...
I'm right here.
Yeah, it's amazing. We got to get this.
His microphone dulls out bad jokes.
Picturing my delivery Amazon person telling me I have split ends and I need to come to him. And, yeah.
All right, so here's the deal. The person that shows up to your house with the package, if you let them know you want a haircut, they go back to the truck and they get their scissors. And they cut your hair right there on the front lawn.
Actually, that sounds like a pretty good idea.
hey, Amazon, you know, they pull up in the gray van or the step van, and can I get a haircut too? Yeah. Thanks for dropping off my my 1,300 pack of hefty trash bags. Can I get a haircut also, please? No, it's an actual salon. They've opened up their first hair salon in London, of all places, and that's not really why I'm doing the story. I think it's also interesting, you know, what else? Yeah, they got into the prescription pill business. You know, Amazon is a pharmacy now, so they're trying to disrupt the whole pharmacy business with, I think they're doing pill pack. I think that's their initial foray is they'll whatever pills you're on, they'll put them all together in a pack and then mail them. I think others do it, but I think that's Amazon's intro into the pharmacy business. And it, you know what? It's not going to surprise me if Amazon actually does open up standalone Amazon pharmacies.
And doctor's offices.
Yeah, that's not going to surprise me, but I'm sure they'll do more pills by mail, etc. But Amazon pharmacy, the delivery, I mean, they've disrupted retail. I mean, look what Amazon has done to the bricks and mortar retail business. My Amazon confession is this. Anybody have any idea? Froggy, any idea what my confession is?
Yeah, I don't know. You're buying a bunch of stuff and not telling your wife? That can't be it, because you're afraid to buy a Ninja.
That's a good point.
What can your confession be? You slept with an Amazon driver. Robert, the driver.
Sir, I'd like to drop off this package. I've got your package for you right here, Robert.
Look at this.
It needs the porno music now.
Hey, Mr. Schnitt, I'm here.
All right, so it's not a love affair with Robert the driver.
No, I didn't sleep with an Amazon driver.
Robert, cut your hair.
You putz.
Down below. I'm sorry.
Jeez.
All right, keep going. Okay, I'm sorry.
My confession is as follows. I am now trying to not order from Amazon. Does that make sense?
Ooh, me. I tried that too for one day.
That could be the line of the day right there. I tried that for one day.
Froggy sleeping with Robert was pretty funny.
I'm serious. I've sort of, for whatever reason, a little aversion to Amazon has started to bubble up in the world of MJ. And I'm trying to do business, or I'm trying to buy things other than Amazon. It's just become too easy to just point, click, boom, shows up.
And what's the problem with that?
Amazon Prime. Well, you know, the other thing is,
feels dirty.
You know, to a certain extent, because it has disrupted so many businesses. And also, Amazon doesn't always have the best price. People think, oh, it's online, it's Amazon, it's got to be the best price. But if you shop around, a lot of times you can get a better price than Amazon. And you know what? I feel like they're big enough. Jeff Bezos is big enough. He's billionaire-ish enough. So I've just sort of tried to make a conscious effort. Can I buy this locally? Can I go to a store and pick it up? What is the pricing difference? And they charge you tax anyway. Amazon, you're getting charged tax for everything you buy, so there's not a tax savings. So I've just kind of moved into a mode where I'm trying to buy things other than the lazy, easy way out of, oh, let me go to my Amazon app, or let me go online, click, click. Okay, it shows up.
Okay, hold on. Now, if I'm not going to buy it off Amazon, I don't feel any better going into a Walmart or Target to buy it.
Can I tell you what happened the one day I tried it?
The one day Roxanne tried, she eliminated Amazon for her life for one whole day.
Was it a whole 24 hours or just one sunrise to sunset?
What happened?
I both. I bought little potted plants, and I was going to go on Amazon and buy them. Yep. And I said, no, go to a local online person.
Who the hell buys potted plants on Amazon? Yeah,
well, I'm sorry, just the pot, not the plant. Oh, just a little pot.
The pot.
The pot that the plant goes in.
I thought you were having a dirt and a plant show up.
No.
From Amazon.
Okay, so I go and I find these cute pots. But this is what happened. It didn't arrive for like 2 weeks. So the good thing is you're totally surprised when you get this stuff that you buy from local online. But then the bad thing is you don't get that immediate satisfaction like we've become accustomed to.
All right.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
Oh, wow. It favorite game show. I remember when I was a kid, I was home from school sick. And I used to, that's when Chuck Woolery, remember when Chuck Woolery used to be the host of Wheel of Fortune? Or were you too young for that, Roxanne?
I'm nodding, but I don't.
Yeah, I used to, when I stayed home from school, if I was sick, yeah, it didn't happen often, but, you know, you'd watch all the daytime programming. And back then, Wheel of Fortune was like Chuck Woolery. And back then, you'd be able to, like, shop for all the crap in this studio. I'll take the couch for $179.
Remember that?
Yeah. You used to buy that. Anyway, Pat Sajak, let's shoot to modern times, ladies and gentlemen, here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. So, Pat Sajak, when did this happen? Was it just happened earlier this week?
I saw it maybe over the weekend.
Actually, it's last Thursday's broadcast.
Oh, okay. I was wrong.
Pat Sajak accidentally gave the answer away in the final round. What do they call the final round, Festa? Did you figure that out?
They call it the final round.
They do?
You know what always irritates me about that?
What?
It's always the same letters. R-S-T-L-N.
There's only so many in the alphabet.
And E. They give you the... Yeah,
right.
Well, yeah, because those are the letters that they... Those are the ones they give you each time, and then you get to pick your additional letters.
Oh, then I haven't watched in a long time.
What?
You get like their five letters, and you pick like four or five letters.
Yeah, they always give you... They prime the pump. They prime the board with R-S-T-L-N-E.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're just figuring out that's a fix.
No, but that's how long it's been since I watched it regularly.
Right. Why did they pick those letters? I don't know. Anyway.
Popular. So,
Pat Sajak is 74? What? Really? In the story, it says Pat Sajak is 74.
And Vanna is like 110.
Oh my God.
But looks great.
She does look great. Now, Pat Sajak has the contestant next to him. It's that final round on Wheel of Fortune, where they put up the R-S-T-L-N-E, and then you get to pick your letters, and bing, bing, boom, bing, 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 and you see what illuminates, and then you have, you have 15 seconds? What is it? How long do you get to solve the puzzle?
Not long.
So Pat Sajak makes a comment as the contestant is trying to figure out what the final puzzle is.
Well, I'd rather be standing here than there, frankly.
What did he gave it away? He gave the puzzle away.
Well, I'd rather be standing here than there, frankly.
Wait, this is like the third story in a couple of weeks about Pat Sajak. I think he's officially over the show.
You think so?
Was he making fun of a guy's lisp?
He did make fun of a guy's lisp.
Well, I'd rather be standing here than there, frankly.
The guy went from not being in the news for 30 years to being in the news every other day.
What did he do? If you listen carefully at the very end, he kind of mumbles the first word, but you can hear frankly. Listen to the very end of this.
Well, I'd rather be standing here than there, frankly.
So he kind of goes, frankly. He says quite frankly. And that's the actual puzzle answer, was quite frankly. Was the actual, what was the category? Was it just a saying or a phrase? It was a phrase. And Pat Sajak actually said, I'd rather be standing here than there, quite frankly. And quite frankly was the actual answer. The guy didn't pick up on that. I don't even think Pat really picked up on it.
Did you hear what you said?
I did, right after I said it. I wonder how many people at home caught it. But in setting up the thing, you know, weren't many letters up there. And I said, I'd rather be here than there, quite frankly, which was the puzzle. But it goes to show you that people are concentrating and they're not paying any attention to me.
Yeah, the studio audience didn't even pick up on it. Oh, yeah.
Robbie's right. He wants to lose his job.
All right, finally, before we get out of here today, I just don't understand people that fall for this. And unfortunately, we've got fantastic members in our Hispanic community here in Florida. Some great innovators. I have fantastic Hispanic friends and acquaintances that I've made over the years. And, of course, this is a minority in the Hispanic community, but some fall for, like, the Santeria stuff and the witchcraft stuff. And sort of culturally, most don't, but some do.
Okay.
And a Naples woman was offering witchcraft services, and it pretty much reeled in the Hispanic community because the woman herself was Hispanic. She went by the name Rosalia. And Rosalia
has disappeared, absconded with over $100,000 from 10 victims, according to WBBH Television down in Naples, Fort Myers. She had advertisements listed with a phone number. Her phone's been disconnected. She ran ads in free Hispanic newspapers. And she was, on the radio, and flyers were left inside laundromats. She would tell people that they had darkness inside of them. She needed to fix it. Bring me all of your money. So some people would bring her thousands of dollars while she would go cleanse the money. And then she'd take it and disappear. She told one man the darkness around him was immense, and he needed to take 3 eggs home and put them under his bed.
That worked, by the way.
God. Folks, please, please, please don't fall for this. So now they're looking for the witchcraft lady who targeted the Hispanic community down in Naples and Fort Myers and ran off with over $100,000. That's our little consumer tip of the day here on the MJ Morning Show. Folks, have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. The MJ Morning Show on Q105.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.